Scholastic Audio presents Wings of Fire, Book 14, The Dangerous Gift, by Tui T. Sutherland, read by Shannon McManus. The Lost Continent Prophecy. Turn your eyes, your wings, your fire, to the land across the sea, where dragons are poisoned and dragons are dying, and no one can ever be free. A secret lurks inside their eggs, a secret hides within their book, a secret buried far below may save those brave enough to look. Open your hearts, your minds, your wings to the dragons who flee from the hive. Face a great evil with talons united, or none of the tribes will survive. Prologue. Sortel blinked awake in a haze of smoke. Smoke clung to the air and filled his nose. Even the savanna grass seemed to still have wisps of smoke clinging to its blades. There were dragons all around him. Hundreds, maybe thousands of dragons. But he didn't know any of them. They were all lying in the tall grass, and on the other side of the smoky sky, he could see the blurred outline of the sun. The last thing he remembered was falling asleep at night. In the jungle, next to Blue and Cricket and Sundew. Before that, he could remember lying there, listening to the carnivorous plants rustle and slither nearby, thinking about the battle to come. He remembered watching Blue rub his wrists nervously at the spots where his flame silk glowed in the dark.
Flame silk. Fire. Blue is going to set the bonfire of Heart of Salvation aflame, and the smoke would be the antidote to the breath of evil. His fire was going to set all the hive wings free from Wasp's mind control. If it worked, maybe there wouldn't be a battle at all.
The smoke in the air suggested that there had definitely been a fire, a much bigger fire than one pile of roots could have produced, in fact. But what had happened?
How did I get here?
He pushed himself up to standing and winced. Everything hurt. His muscles ached as though he'd been flying for days. Even his claws felt bruised and sore. From the sounds of the moaning and grumbling around him, many of these strange dragons felt the same way. He suddenly realized that most of them were hive wings, his enemies.
Why am I lying in the savannah, surrounded by hive wings? Did they capture me?
If so, they were doing a pathetic job of keeping him prisoner. No one was even looking at him. He wasn't tied up. He could fly away right now.
Which way, though?
Which way was Blue?
Or Luna? If I could fly to Luna, I would.
So what if there was an entire ocean between them? He would find his way there, to her. Just as soon as he figured out where in Pentala he was. He squinted around, looking for a landmark. Even if there was nothing but savanna around him, that would be a clue. But there was something. Two hives, visible in the distance, with glimmering webs stretching between them. Which meant the poison jungle should be in the other. A cloud of black smoke covered the horizon behind him, reaching from ground to sky.
Is that the jungle?
And suddenly he had a memory. A memory of standing beside Blue as flame silk spiraled out of Blue's wrists onto the pile of roots. Sortel remembered his own claws, clutching a spear with sharp thorns twisting from one end. He remembered staring at the rows of hive wings, all of them eerily still and white-eyed. They hadn't moved as he and Blue approached the pyre. They hadn't swarmed forward to try to stop them. They hadn't even looked at him. He remembered now how that had worried him. But he'd put his faith in the antidote. He'd watched the green-tinged smoke rise and fill the air, drifting over the front ranks of the Hivewing army, slinking around his own head and Blue's. And then he'd felt his claws twitch and sink into the ground. His wings opened, but he hadn't moved them. His head turned toward Blue, and his mouth moved, and something that wasn't him spoke through him.
Two little silk wings, all for me. Just what I always wanted. And one of them a flame silk. So nice when a plan sprouts exactly the way it's supposed to.
Blue had stared back at him, his talons also firmly planted. The leaf wings flying down from the trees would not have been able to tell that there was anything wrong. Only Swordtail could see the panic in Blue's eyes. Only the two of them knew that they were paralyzed inside their bodies, controlled by someone, or something else. It felt like the toxin the Hive Wings used on Misbehavior's Way prisoners, but worse. The rest of his memories came flooding back. The smoke spreading over the leaf wings. Sequoia and Belladonna and Nettle caught by the breath of evil, just as Swordtail was. Blue's talons turning toward the jungle, his fire burning it all down. Swordtail crouched into the savanna grass, trying to breathe. It was morning now. They must have spent the whole previous day scorching the poison jungle. He remembered being in the squadron that was sent to gather all the breath of evil from its hidden lair before the fire reached that area. He also remembered searching for the rest of the leaf wings. The thing inside him had driven him relentlessly through the crackling, smoking trees, looking for Sundew and Cricket and the young leafwing princess. That was probably why he was so sore and singed and scratched up. It was a miracle he hadn't been eaten by a frantic dying plant along the way. But he didn't remember finding any leaf wings. Swordtail jumped to his feet, ignoring the pain in his talons. He spun, searching the savanna around him. Hundreds of hive wings, a few leaf wings, but nobody he recognized. No Sundew. How had she escaped the smoke by the battlefield? Oh, wait. She hadn't been there when Blue went to burn the roots. He didn't know where she'd gone, but maybe that meant her mind hadn't been taken over. And if they'd searched all day for her, with no luck, maybe she'd really escaped, along with Cricket and the rest of the leaf wings who hadn't been near the smoke. Where could they be? He lifted one talon gingerly, then the other. He was controlling himself right now. His head felt curiously light, as if it had been caught in the grip of someone's talons all night, and they'd just released him. Cautiously, he started walking through the grass, toward a flicker of bright blue wings near one of the shrubs. Blue? If he could find Blue, they could fly away together. Maybe the mind control had been temporary. Or maybe it didn't work over long distances. Maybe they could fly out over the ocean, as far as they could possibly get, and escape its clutches that way. It was Blue. Swordtail could see soot smudged along Blue's face and limbs and wings, but it was unmistakably him, asleep, with his brow furrowed in worry. Swordtail was a few steps away from his friend when his legs suddenly froze. He felt a chill sweep through him, all his scales shivering away from believing that they'd been taken over again.
"Nice try," his own voice whispered.
His wings folded in and he dropped to the ground, stuck in place. Trapped. So close to Blue, but so far from himself.
"She has me in her claws," he thought. "But she can't read my mind. She can't stop me from thinking. Or hoping. Blue and I may be stuck here, but I believe Sundew and Cricket escaped. Maybe they went to find Luna. And if they did, I know they'll come back for us. They'll find a way to set us free. We just have to survive until they do."
Part 1. Blizzards and Buried Magic. Chapter 1. The youngest queen in the history of the Ice Kingdom was going to be the very best queen of the Ice Wings ever. Ever, ever. The best. She was going to keep all her dragons safe. They were all going to be healthy and prosperous and safe, and no one was going to die of any more evil magic plagues, like the one that killed the previous queen.
No one. Not on her watch.
Queen Snowfall had a plan, or at least, she had a firm death grip on an idea that was kind of like a plan. That plan was, stay away from other dragons. No more getting involved in other tribes' stupid wars. No more summits with queens who talked down to her or eyed her as if she might be the one to start the next war. No more interactions with Nightwings, ever. None of this intertribal peace talk, empathy building, drum circle nonsense. Icewings were a great tribe. They didn't need any other tribes. Those subjects of hers who wanted to go explore, to meet other dragons, and study in their perilous, flammable schools? They needed to be stuffed into igloos until they came to their senses. Her council had talked her into letting a few Icewings go to Jade Mountain Academy, for now, instead of using her excellent igloo plan. There had been so much alarming enthusiasm for the idea of connecting with the other tribes.
Why? Was her question.
How could anyone even want to be around strange dragons after what had happened to their tribe? She was hoping the students they'd sent would come back with stories about how terrible the academy was, and that by then, all the other curious Icewings would have forgotten about ever wanting to leave. No, in Snowfall's vision of her reign, all Icewings would stay in the kingdom, where she could keep an eye on them. Other dragons would stay out of the kingdom, and there would be no more dealing with tribes that weren't them. It was a good plan, a straightforward plan, a nice, safe, brilliant plan. Except for the problems. Problems like queens who kept sending her messages about alliances and trade and building more schools like Jade Mountain Academy.
Shut up, Queen Ruby! Go away, Queen Glory! Deal with your own stupid dragons, Queen Thorn.
Problems like the Icewings on her own council, who wanted to meet with the Nightwings and try to build a bridge over centuries of violence and hatred after the blast of magic empathy that had ended their last battle. Problems like not knowing exactly where everyone was and having to wonder whether the missing dragons in question had left the Ice Kingdom or were still lurking around somewhere, maybe plotting some cold-blooded murder. Most urgent, though, was the problem that hundreds of strange dragons were apparently flying toward her shores at that very moment.
"You're sure they aren't Nightwings?" she demanded again.
Her scout managed not to sigh, but she could tell that he wanted to, which was very disrespectful, and maybe she should have him punished. Wasn't that what a fierce, powerful, very best queen ever would do? Punish dragons for disobeying her, or thinking about disobeying her, or making faces as if they were trying not to make faces?
"I could see flashes of different colors from their scales," he repeated. "I promise you, my queen, mostly green, but many, many other colors as well. No black dragons. They're not Nightwings."
Snowfall paced from one corner of the balcony to the other. They were high on one of the tallest spires of the palace, with the wind whisking pellets of ice all around them. The sun was low in the sky off to the west, painting the clouds gold and orange as it sank into the sea. She knew they were out there. But no matter how fiercely Snowfall glared at it, she couldn't see any dragons flying out of the sunset. She wondered if Nightwings had found a way to disguise their scales. Maybe Darkstalker wasn't really gone, even though all those not-Icewings at the Jade Mountain Academy promised he was. Maybe he was still out there, and he'd come up with a way to turn Nightwings into multicolored rainbow dragons, and then he'd sent them far out into the ocean to fly in an enormous arc so they could come at the Ice Kingdom from the west and avoid the Great Ice Cliff, and soon they would be here to kill her and her entire tribe. This was not far-fetched freaking out. This was completely reasonable, justified freaking out. Her scout was looking at her as if he thought she might be losing her mind, though.
She had to put her queen face back on and act as if an invasion of alarming rainbow dragons was the sort of thing excellent queens such as herself could easily handle. No problem.
Well, if they're not Nightwings, what are they? She asked.
He hesitated, and she answered her own question.
Rainwings? I mean, Rainwings, of course. That's the only tribe with many colors, so perhaps with sea wings? Those can be green. It's probably a group of Rainwings and sea wings.
Why would Rainwings and sea wings form an alliance to invade my kingdom from the west? Her brain screamed.
Coral and Glory have betrayed me. They decided I'm too young to be queen, and they're coming for my throne.
Which is very unfair, because Glory is the same age as I am, and she's queen of two tribes.
All right, Queen Glory probably wasn't coming to depose Snowfall because of her age. See? Her brain could figure that out. And so it was, ipso facto, working perfectly reasonably, and that meant all these other worries were entirely legitimate. Also, the Rainwing tribe hadn't invaded another kingdom in literally hundreds of years. They hadn't even participated in the War of Sandwing Succession. All they wanted to do was snooze around the rainforest eating papayas. They would be an utterly useless invasion force. If Glory did want to invade another kingdom, she'd have to do it with her Nightwings, who liked attacking and killing and stabbing and violence and lying and destroying things.
So maybe Glory found a way to turn Nightwings into rainbow dragons and sent them this way, and so they are Nightwings after all.
Snowfall rubbed her head, which was throbbing as though someone had shoved icicles through her temples.
I don't think the Rainwings and Seawings would attack us, the scout said cautiously.
Is your job thinking?
Snowfall shouted, making him jump.
Are you an expert thinker? Did we accidentally assign you to scouting because we missed your giant amazing brain and all the amazing thinks it could have shared with us? Does it seem likely that your thinking would interest me?
No, Your Majesty, he stammered.
No, she agreed. You are a scout. Go scout again and come back with real, actual information. He flew away immediately. And then she spent 7 minutes worrying about whether she'd been too harsh with him, and whether an excellent queen would have said any of that, and whether a certain sister of hers would have been more serene, and therefore more excellent, and then another 12 minutes growling at herself about how excellent queens didn't second-guess themselves, and how she needed to be more decisive. And then she realized that she was accidentally thinking about murdery black dragons trying to murder her again, and she had to lie down and cover her face for a moment. When she finally sat up, her aunt Tundra was standing in the doorway of the balcony, watching her with impassive raised eyebrows.
Hello, Snowfall said haughtily.
I was definitely not panicking. I was resting my eyes in a very normal queenly fashion. I do not need to explain myself. I am the queen, and therefore whatever I do is queenly, no matter what her eyebrows think.
Good evening, said her aunt. It is time for the wall.
Of course it is, Snowfall said. How marvelous. My favorite part of the day.
Tundra had a face that repelled sarcasm. No matter what Snowfall said, no matter her tone of voice, it all slid right off that frozen expression. Tundra inclined her head slightly and held out the jeweled box that contained the Ice Wing crown. As a little dragonette princess, Snowfall had looked forward to wearing the crown her entire life. Diamonds, sparkles, power. Everything she'd always wanted. Until the moment it officially became hers, when it became clear what Queen Snowfall had had to lose to get it. And now it was her least favorite thing in the world.
Well, maybe Tundra's face was her least favorite thing in the world. But they usually came together, so she could hate them both simultaneously.
Snowfall opened the box with an irritated sigh and lifted out the glittering, diamond-encrusted monstrosity. Spiraling spikes like icicles jutted up into the air,
around a cluster of crystalline jewels and twisted silver arches. It weighed as much as a small polar bear and made her neck hurt the moment she put it on. But she couldn't let Tundra see that. She tipped her chin up and flared her wings to usher her aunt ahead of her. Everyone says the war is over. Everyone says Darkstalker is gone. Everyone says the Nightwings won't attack us again. But everyone could be wrong. The Nightwings can't be trusted. They want me dead. They want all of us dead. If I could find a way to wipe them all out first, I should. Tundra's necklace of skywing teeth clicked noisily as they strode through the palace. Snowfall pressed her talons to her eyes for a moment, trying to drive the headache away. Being the queen, it turned out, was like living inside a snowstorm that never ended. She tried so hard to start each day all new, with a list and a plan and energy. She'd get so much done. Each new problem was a mere snowflake. She could tackle them one by one. Little, sparkly, quick-melting problems. Except the snowflakes piled up faster than she could fly. Sparkles, on fluff, on ice, on cold, on heavy, wet layers of slush and freezing clumps. And by night, she was buried far below them. And then, every night, just when it was all too much, her Aunt Tundra would appear with her cold marble face, and that meant it was time for the wall. According to the ancient tradition of the tribe, every night, the Queen of the Ice Wings had to consider the wall that listed every important dragon in the tribe, and then she had to adjust the rankings of all the dragons in the aristocracy. Every night. Whose idea was this? Snowfall had always considered the wall, known as the Gift of Order, to be one of the best magic things in the kingdom. She used to wake up before the sun and soar down to the courtyard to see where her name was each morning. She loved watching the word Snowfall climb higher and higher as she worked and trained and studied until she was at the very top of the dragonette's side of the rankings. And there it stayed, moon after moon. Apart from that unfortunate blip when her cousins messed everything up for a few days. But then winter was gone, and Hailstorm moved over to the adult wall, and Snowfall was in her proper place at the top again, and it was excellent to look at. Best dragonette in the whole kingdom, the wall reassured her, morning after morning. You're doing great. Even your mother thinks so. She put you right here at the top because she sees how undeniably great you are. Sometimes it felt like a secret message from Queen Glacier. Like, don't worry, I remember you. Even though we haven't been in the same room in a while, I am quite pleased to have a daughter like you. I appreciate that you are not embarrassing me. It wasn't like that now. The wall did not tell Snowfall she was undeniably great anymore. It said, well, and make some decisions, and stop dithering, and a good queen would have no trouble with this, and what happened to being the best queen ever? Why are you such a disaster? There were no more messages, unspoken or otherwise, from her mother. Now the word Snowfall was set apart in its own little queen corner, off by itself. Now the task of reordering the rankings every night was her job, and Snowfall had begun to suspect that the Gift of Order was less a gift and more an act of twisted revenge. Some queen must have angered her animus somehow, and he or she had responded by crafting this torture device, perfectly designed to drive Icewing queens insane for the rest of time. Once upon a time, Snowfall had thought she would love this part of being queen. The fate of all her dragons in her own talons, the power to lift up those most loyal and knock down her enemies. But it didn't feel like power. It felt like work, pinning her down like the weight of the crown. Icy rain drizzled down as Snowfall stared up at the wall of rankings. The light globe floating over her shoulder lit up the names in front of her. Behind her, the three moons illuminated the snowy courtyard. Silver, empty, cold and wet, speckled with weird shadows from the light tree. Empty. Only 20 ice wings had died of the plague, only, plus 13 more in the battle with the night wings. But since Snowfall became queen, the palace had felt as empty as if the entire tribe had vanished into thin air the day Queen Glacier died. The entire tribe, that is, in addition to the one sister who had actually vanished. Maybe the rest of the ice wings deliberately made themselves scarce whenever they saw her coming. Maybe that was always what it was like for a queen.
Well, Tundra asked smoothly, who are you going to move?
Yeah, agreed the wall. Your mother never took this long.
Snowfall's head hurt. Her teeth hurt. Why did her teeth hurt? Every night she had to do this. Even when she had much more urgent crises to deal with than the hierarchy of palace dragons. Such as the dragons that were coming across the ocean right at this moment, preparing to tramp their dangerous talons all over her snowy kingdom. She wished she had a list of their names, and an entire history of their tribes, and an explanation for their behavior, and an outline of what they were planning to do when they got here, plus a battle strategy for getting rid of them.
Tundra cleared her throat. Right. The wall.
Snowfall adjusted the heavy crown on her aching head. She couldn't remember even seeing half these dragons today. How was she supposed to know whether they deserved to move up or down? When everyone avoided her or spoke to her in polite monosyllables, where was she supposed to hear about the squabbles, mistakes, outrages, or triumphs in their freezing little aristocratic world? How did Mother always know everything? Snowfall glanced sideways at her aunt. Tundra had lost her husband, Narwhal, in the Ice Wing-Nightwing battle. One of her children lived in exile, and another was in prison awaiting trial, while the third was recovering from a very bizarre magic spell. Snowfall didn't know quite what to think of Hailstorm these days. He seemed rigidly perfect on the outside, and all melted together on the inside. Tundra looked exactly the same, though. Snowfall never saw a hint of sadness or rage or resentment in her face, even though they both knew perfectly well that Tundra had always hoped her daughter, Icicle, would take the throne from Glacier before Snowfall could.
Never going to happen now, Snowfall thought. After all those years of competing, suddenly I'm the queen, and Icicle's locked in the dungeon for being a traitor, and none of it was up to me in the end.
She lifted her chin.
Act like a queen, all the time, no matter how much your teeth hurt.
Hailstorm could go up a notch. He hadn't annoyed her at all today, and it would please Tundra, so perhaps she'd let Snowfall cut this short without too many more changes. Snowfall stabbed her claws into Hailstorm's name and dragged him up a spot. She left Tundra's name where it was, safely in the first circle, ever since Narwhal sacrificed himself to save the new queen. She also left Crystal up among the top 10 names, even though she could feel Tundra glaring at it intently every night. Wherever Crystal was, she was still a princess. She hadn't done anything terrible that Snowfall knew of. She wasn't definitely out there trying to raise an army to steal Snowfall's throne, and she wasn't certainly hiding in the palace trying to poison Snowfall's food. She was only maybe doing those things. Snowfall couldn't knock her down the list for maybe crimes, even if the maybe-ness of them was terrifying enough. If she left Crystal's name in place, she hoped it would look as though she wasn't afraid of her sister at all. She reordered a few other names, trying to keep her eyebrows arched in a bored, haughty way.
So easy, this boring task, her eyebrows yawned. Easiest task in the world. Definitely not frying all my brain cells.
Really?
Tundra said once, as Snowfall slid her uncle Permafrost down a notch for pointing out, again, how easy it would be for sea wings to invade from the northern ocean side of the Ice Kingdom, a reminder that Snowfall really did not need right now, thanks very much.
Tundra snapped her jaw shut as Snowfall glared at her. Finally, Snowfall stepped back, shaking her talons.
Her claws felt as if they might shiver into a million pieces in a moment. The wall always made them feel that way, and they were always fine after a while, but it was unpleasant.
"That's your final decision,"
Tundra said, with just a hint of skepticism in her voice, easily denied if Snowfall had snapped at her.
"Yes."
Snowfall couldn't take another moment of this. She had to figure out what to do about the approaching dragons. The only other Icewing who knew was the scout who'd reported it to her. That Animus Sandwing, Jerboa, knew too. Snowfall had gone to her for a spell to protect them, but it hadn't been any help because Animus magic was broken, or Jerboa was lying to her, and either way, she was useless. So Snowfall needed to deal with the invasion by herself, somehow, although so far her strategy of pacing around her throne room all night hadn't been particularly effective. Even so, alone, that was what she wanted to be. Or, specifically, somewhere far away from Tundra. She wrestled the giant crown off her head and shoved it into her aunt's talons. Her headache eased a little.
"Go away," she snapped. "Now."
Tundra bowed and swept off, leaving only a faint vibration of disapproval in the air behind her. She never said anything obvious to remind Snowfall that, only a few months ago, Tundra and Narwhal had been practically second in command to Queen Glacier. She never even hinted at memories of their former relationship. Back then, Snowfall had been so careful about every word she said, afraid of offending her aunt and falling down the ranks as a result. Snowfall knew Tundra must hate the fact that she had to bow to her niece now. And probably Snowfall wasn't helping the situation by barking at her and ordering her around. She couldn't help it, though. She was too overwhelmed by everything else to add, "be more polite to Aunt Tundra," to her list. If there was one upside to being queen, surely it was that she could finally snap at dragons who deserved it. Couldn't she? Maybe she couldn't. Maybe that was worst queen behavior, not best queen. Maybe she was messing this all up every time she opened her mouth. She glanced up at the wall again. The wall didn't say anything. Of course it didn't. It was a wall. But it was clearly thinking about how civil Queen Glacier always was, and it was definitely judging her.
"This is sane. It is normal to feel judged by magic walls. I am a perfectly sane queen with a well-functioning brain, and everything is fine."
Something snapped in the courtyard behind her. Snowfall whirled around and stared through the icy raindrops. It all looked the same. Pale, icy, wet, weird shadows. But it wasn't empty. Someone was there. Someone was watching her. Chapter 2.
"It's Darkstalker. He's here to finish the job of killing us all. Or another Nightwing. Or Crystal. Definitely a murdery dragon about to kill me."
"Show yourself," Snowfall shouted. "I know you're there."
She inhaled a gust of frost breath, ready to unleash freezing death on her assassin, and charged toward the Tree of Light. A figure moved among the branches, wings spreading, and Snowfall bared her teeth.
"Ah!" the figure shouted. "Stop! Snowfall, it's me!"
The dragon tumbled out of the tree and landed awkwardly among its roots, trying to stand and bow and duck behind the trunk at the same time. Snowfall skidded to a stop. The dragon's scales were white, freckled with dark blue, not black. Not a Nightwing. The dark blue meant it wasn't Crystal either. She swallowed her frost breath back down and lowered her head to squint at the spy.
"Lynx?"
"Hi," said the dragonette. "Hello. Thank you for not freezing me. Hi, Snowfall."
"Queen Snowfall,"
Snowfall snapped automatically. Lynx had been her biggest competition all through school and training, at least after a hailstorm was captured by Skywings. She was only the daughter of a minor noble, but she was hardworking and clever and good at making teachers like her, and Snowfall had wanted to strangle her more than 1,000 times.
"Right," Lynx said, glancing over her shoulder as though she was already regretting this conversation.
Queen Snowfall. Sorry. She didn't sound sorry. She sounded like she always had, challenging Snowfall to races around the palace or arguing over points of Icewing law and class. Snowfall narrowed her eyes. Lynx was still a year away from moving to the adult wall, and without Snowfall, or any of the cousins left on there, Lynx had been sitting easily at the top of the dragonette list. But Snowfall could move her down. Snowfall could flick her all the way into the seventh circle if she wanted to. Snowfall was the queen now. Deciding that Lynx was a disrespectful nobody who deserved to be squashed back into her place was absolutely Snowfall's job. What are you doing here? Snowfall demanded. Are you spying on me? A normal dragon, with a healthy fear of punishment, would have denied it immediately. But Lynx made a rueful face, spread her wings, and said, I am, actually. What? You are? Snowfall scowled at her. Why? Is she working with the Nightwings? Or the invading dragons? Or Crystal? Or all of the above? Or writing to my cousin Winter about what a terrible job I'm doing? They were always too friendly, those two. Maybe she's convinced him to round up a bunch of sea wings to attack us. I don't know why, but it's possible. Because I'm worried about you? Lynx said frankly. Snowfall, are you all right? Snowfall's entire brain stopped working. It just rolled over and lay there, suddenly full of nothing to say after months of nonstop yelling about everything. Her mouth was all, hello, any thoughts? And the response was apparently, nope, just flap around like a bewildered walrus for a while. Snowfall? Lynx said after a moment. Did I break you? She reached out and tapped lightly on Snowfall's forehead. Nobody tapped on the queen's forehead! Snowfall jumped back and stared at her. Nobody asked if the queen was all right, either. She had never been asked that question, and certainly not since she became ruler of the whole Ice Kingdom. Of course I'm all right, she snapped. I am the queen. Those two things don't necessarily go together, Lynx observed. I think maybe the opposite, actually. Why don't you think I'm all right? Snowfall demanded. What are you trying to say? Do you think you'd be better at this than me? Oh my goodness. Lynx edged away a step and looked even more concerned. Not even remotely. I'd never want to be queen. The correct answer, Snowfall said in an icy voice, is no, Snowfall. You're doing amazing. You are doing amazing, Lynx cried. See, now I don't believe you. Snowfall wrenched a globe off the tree and batted it up at one of the windows that overlooked the courtyard. Some aristocrat was going to wake up in the morning and be very confused about why he had a second light globe bobbing gently around his room. Lynx watched it sail over their heads, then returned her gaze to Snowfall. I'm just worried about the fact that the only dragons you ever get to talk to anymore are old and bossy and kind of mean. Snowfall let out a snort. That certainly described the council of powerful ice wings who'd nominated themselves to guide the new young queen. Some would say I'm bossy and kind of mean too, she said to Lynx haughtily. Oh, you are, Lynx said, which was not the correct answer either. But that means you need to order some kind, agreeable dragons to hang out with you. Ones that won't make your brain hurt all the time. Like you, I suppose? Snowfall asked. How does she know that my brain hurts all the time? No, Lynx said. I'm not agreeable at all. You'd be like, fetch me a narwhal. And I'd be all, why? Narwhals are heavy, and I'm reading. And you'd say, but I want one right now. And I'd say, then go get one, bossy tail. And you'd bellow, I am your queen. And I'd be like, yes, but this book is at a really exciting part, though. And then you'd probably have me executed. I'd be so irritating. You already know this about me. How do you know that my brain hurts all the time? Snowfall blurted. I mean, that is,
What makes you think that my brain hurts all the time?
Well, Link said carefully, flicking her tail.
You haven't stopped frowning since the beginning of the plague. That would give anyone a headache, I'd think. And my brain is always tired, when all I have to do is study and train and stay at the top of the Dragonette rankings. You have to do all the queen stuff. And, you know, also the sad bit.
No, no.
Snowfall stamped right over Lynx's last words.
No time for that. I can handle all the queen stuff. I'm not a lowly noble like you. I can do everything just fine. This is what I've been preparing for my whole life.
Sure, but there was supposed to be more of a whole life first, Lynx pointed out. Like, a couple more decades at least, I imagine?
You don't know that, Snowfall said. Maybe I was planning to challenge Mother for the throne, like, next week anyway, because I'm so already ready to be queen.
The light from the tree was too bright, and she could feel her eyes watering. She turned to pace back to the wall, rubbing her face with one talon. A couple more decades with Mother as their queen? Maybe longer. That was what they should have had. That was what Darkstalker stole. She hadn't really had a plan for challenging her mother anytime soon. She thought there would be plenty of time ahead of them before she had to worry about that. Or that certain sisters would get there first.
I guess I don't know, Link said, catching up to her.
And walking beside her instead of a few steps behind, how had this dragon done so well in her exams? Did she not know any royal etiquette at all?
I guess, Lynx went on, maybe it had to be sooner because you needed to challenge her before Icicle did, right? Or someone else? Maybe it's better this way, with her giving you the throne instead of you having to take it?
I could have taken it, Snowfall assured her, anytime I wanted to.
She remembered Queen Glacier lying on her deathbed, gripping one of Snowfall's talons and staring intently up at her. She remembered her sisters watching from the queen's other side, Crystal's eyes glittering in the blue twilight, Mink sobbing.
I will not have our tribe suffer the fate of the Kingdom of Sand, Glacier breathed between spasms of coughing. There will be no war of Icewing succession. Do you three understand me?
Mink nodded frantically, although, at age two, she knew almost nothing about the war, and probably couldn't even name the sisters, Blister, Blaze, and Burn, that she and Crystal and Snowfall might become.
We promise, Mother, Crystal said, in her frail, slippery, sweet voice.
They were all sick at that point, although they didn't know yet that the plague came from Darkstalker's magic. But Crystal had draped herself in diaphanous scarf veils that managed to make even the plague look glamorous.
Nobody wants another war.
Even though Crystal had actually fought in the War of Sandwing Succession, she hadn't come back noticeably tougher or more aggressive. She actually seemed a bit less there. She kept staring out of windows and losing track of conversations, probably thinking about all the deaths she'd witnessed, Snowfall guessed. She could easily believe that Crystal didn't want the tribe, or especially herself, to face any more battles.
We'll just fight each other, Snowfall said. We won't drag anyone else into it. A normal duel, over in a day.
Could I beat Crystal in a fight? Maybe right now, while she's sicker with a plague than I am.
Crystal was 3 years older, slightly taller, a little lazy, and a bit of an overthinker. Snowfall could probably use those last two to her advantage.
Do I really have to kill her, though?
Snowfall didn't know if she could handle one more dead Icewing. She didn't know if her claws could add to the death toll. Mink sniffled, and Snowfall felt a small lurch in her chest. Mink wouldn't want to be queen, would she? Surely she wouldn't try to be in the duel.
No!
Glacier snarled. She crushed Snowfall's wrist in her talons with painful ferocity.
You will not fight each other. I am going to choose the next Icewing Queen.
Crystal rubbed the edges of her wings together, a nervous habit that made a jittering sound, which drove Snowfall mad.
But, Crystal started, but that's never.
You must swear on the spirits beneath the ice,
Glacier said fiercely.
Whoever I choose to be queen, the other two will support her. You'll help her save the tribe and keep the peace. No duels, no fighting, no war. Do you understand?
Snowfall glanced across at her sisters. Of course Mother would choose Crystal, the oldest, the calmest, the one other dragons liked. Crystal had never clawed her way to the top of the rankings like Snowfall, but she didn't seem to care even half as much. Did swearing this oath mean Snowfall would have to give up on the throne forever?
For how long? She asked. I mean, tradition says no one should challenge a new queen for the first month of her reign. Is that what you mean? Or for longer?
Longer, Glacier rasped. The tribe will need stability after this plague.
If any of us survive it, was the unspoken murmur under her words.
So,
Snowfall studied Crystal's bowed head for a moment.
A year?
Glacier sighed, a sad whisper of wind across a frozen lake.
I don't want you three to fight, she said, closing her eyes. Ever.
I won't,
Mink cried. She climbed up onto the bed with her mother and crept under Glacier's wing.
I won't ever hurt them, Mommy. I promise. I love them, and I love you, and we'll all be really good.
Crystal lifted her gaze and met Snowfall's eyes. Hers were clear blue as the sky, and Snowfall couldn't read them at all. Was she angry that their mother was asking them to break centuries of Icewing tradition with a promise like this? Or was that a look of triumph, knowing that if she agreed, Snowfall would never be able to take her throne?
I'll swear to, Crystal said. No fighting. Whatever you want, Mother.
Snowfall,
Glacier said. Snowfall felt as though sharp talons were raking the words out of her throat.
I swear, she choked out. I'll support the new queen. I won't challenge her.
For now, her brain couldn't help adding.
For a while, at least.
She tried to shut it off,
but it kept whispering. Maybe one day.
Good.
Glacier opened her eyes again and tucked Mink in closer with her wing. She reached for the glittering diamond crown on the side table.
The next queen of the Ice Wings is Snowfall. That is final.
A shocked numbness seized Snowfall's scales, spreading out to her wingtips and tail. She felt the heavy weight of the crown settling down around her temples. Crystal's face was unreadable, a blur over Mother's shoulder.
Me. She chose me. I'm the next queen of the Ice Wings, not Crystal. She thinks I'd be the best queen. Is she right? What if she's wrong? Now I'm the one who has to protect us from the Night Wings. And I'm the one who has to find a cure for this plague before any more dragons die. Queen Snowfall.
Crystal bowed to Snowfall with a swoop of her wings, murmured something like, congratulations, and excused herself to check on something in the kitchens. She was beside the bed again, veiled and coughing, when Queen Glacier died later that night. Shortly after the queen told Snowfall, far too late, about the animus who might be able to save them. But the next morning, Crystal was gone, and Snowfall hadn't seen her since. So, one could see why she might find that worrying. She cut a suspicious glance at Lynx.
Do you actually think it's better that I'm queen? You don't wish it was someone else instead?
You mean Crystal? Lynx asked, saying the quiet part loud again, like an absolute beluga.
I don't know her very well. She had just left for the war front when I came to the palace.
Whenever I did see her,
I got the impression she was hiding something.
Isn't everybody? Snowfall said with a snort. Lynx scrunched up her snout and thought for a second. I'm not.
You were spying on me, Snowfall pointed out.
Sure, but not very well, Lynx argued.
Snowfall was tired of being rained on. She turned away from the wall and went through the nearest archway, shaking her wet wings over the icy floor. It was marginally warmer inside the walls of the palace, but it would still take a while to feel dry. Lynx followed her into the ballroom, where a pair of servants was changing the faded light globes in the chandeliers. They took one look at the queen, or maybe at the queen's thunderous expression, and fled through one of the upper balconies, their task only half finished. Snowfall frowned after them.
Well, I don't know Crystal, Lynx went on, but I knew Queen Glacier, and she was brilliant. She chose you. That's good enough for me.
That's it?
Snowfall rounded on her with a hiss.
So you don't think I'm actually good enough to be queen? If it were up to you, it wouldn't be me. You're only supporting me because my mother thought it was a good idea.
3 moons, Snowfall. Lynx took a step back. I'm sure you'll be a good queen, except maybe if you have a meltdown because all the dragons around you are awful and you yell at anyone who tries to be nice to you.
Oh, is that what this is? Snowfall said. You're being nice to me? Thank you so much. That's just what I needed.
See, you're being sarcastic, Lynx said. But it is what you need, Walrus Breath.
You can't call the queen a walrus breath, Snowfall shouted. It's not allowed, and it's not nice. Where are my executioners when I need them?
You don't have those, Lynx said, with a distinct lack of concern in her voice. Hey, I know what would help. Want to go for a swim?
No, I obviously don't want to go for a swim,
Snowfall yelled, even though swimming had once been one of her favorite things. She wondered if Lynx had actually remembered that.
I don't have time for that kind of nonsense. I am ruling a kingdom right now. Not that you've apparently noticed.
But don't you need a break? Lynx asked. I think it would make you feel better.
Snowfall dug her claws into the ice below her.
I don't have time to feel better, she said through gritted teeth. My sister has gone into hiding, probably so she can kill me. Animus magic is broken, so I can't use it to fix anything, and there are hundreds of evil mystery dragons flying directly at our border right the heck now. They will probably be here by tomorrow to do something nefarious, I don't know what, but probably involving murder. When am I supposed to fit a leisurely swim into all of that, Lynx?
Lynx stared at her, blinking fast for a long moment.
Well? She said finally. No one said it had to be a leisurely swim.
Executioners!
Snowfall bellowed.
Great ice spirits, Snowfall, take a breath.
Lynx grabbed one of Snowfall's gesticulating talons and gripped it between hers.
Tell me about the hundreds of evil mystery dragons.
That is top secret information, Snowfall said haughtily. Not for insignificant dragonettes to know.
But you clearly need to talk about it, Lynx pointed out. Just tell me, and I promise I'll keep it a secret if you want me to.
Words started spilling out of Snowfall against her will.
Hundreds, she said, hundreds of strange dragons on their way here, right now.
I got that part, Lynx said. That's all the information I already have, but do you mean real dragons? Not paranoid, made-up, hypothetical dragons?
Snowfall began to swell with indignation, and Lynx jumped in before she could start yelling again.
All right, sorry, just checking. I believe you. Hundreds of mystery dragons. From where?
I don't know, Snowfall cried. That's the problem. One of the problems. Maybe Crystal went to get an army to destroy me. Maybe the Nightwings want to finish what they started with the plague. Maybe Coral and Glory have formed an alliance and decided to take me down.
But why would they do that? Lynx asked.
Because everyone is evil,
Snowfall shouted. She yanked her talon out of Lynx's grasp.
Snowfall,
Everyone just got out of a war. None of the queens in Pyria want to get back into another one. Listen, listen. How do you know about the hundreds of dragons?
One of my scouts, Snowfall said. He was out scouting the Western Ocean and saw them coming from a distance. They landed on an island out there, but he said they were regrouping to fly again soon. Lynx scrunched up her face in a thinking hard expression that Snowfall knew very well from years of sitting next to her in class.
From a distance? Across the Western Ocean? Her eyes went suddenly wide. 3 moons, Snowfall. What if they're from the Lost Continent?
How have you ever beaten me on a test? Snowfall demanded. Does your brain even work at all? The Lost Continent isn't real. It's a myth.
Unless it is real, and we're about to get hundreds of visitors to prove it.
Lynx was nearly dancing on her claws now. Snowfall wanted to drop a mountain on her.
That is not better, Snowfall shouted. Dragons from a whole other continent? Invading my kingdom? They must be coming to steal our land and treasure. What if they have extra murdery superpowers we've never even thought of? Or weird diseases. Lynx, what if they have weird diseases that will kill us?
We can't worry about all of that until it actually happens, Lynx said with an I'm so practical expression that made Snowfall feel like screaming.
Yes, we can, Snowfall cried. I'm worrying about all of it right now.
Okay, Lynx said. Sure, but maybe they come in peace.
Snowfall's scales wanted to leap off her and go running up the walls, shrieking or exploding or whapping into everything. She couldn't even hold all the things inside of her that might go horribly and dramatically wrong.
Snowfall, Lynx said.
She folded her wings forward around Snowfall's head, like a dome of white curtains, and looked into Snowfall's eyes. It was impertinent, but it cast an irresistible stillness around them.
Queen Snowfall,
Snowfall reminded her. It was kind of peaceful not to be able to see the palace. This was what she wanted for the whole tribe, a wall of solid scales around them, blocking everything else out.
Queen Snowfall, Lynx echoed. You said they'll be here tomorrow? So let's fly to the western coast and meet them. Let's find out who they are and what they want before we panic. I mean, bit late for that, clearly. But we can save the more epic panicking for when we actually know something.
We? Snowfall said. Meaning me and my whole army?
Meaning you and me, Lynx said. And one guard, if you must.
Terrible plan, Snowfall said. The worst. I hate it.
Great. Lynx grinned at her. See you at the front gate at dawn.
She trotted away, like a dragon with no worries in the whole world, and Snowfall was left, staring into the walls of the palace. Pale, shimmering blue drizzled down through the